Good morning, everybody. My name is Scott Cheatwood, and I am very excited to be here today once again with my family. I am a student at Reformed Theological Seminary, and once again, I'm just thrilled to be here leading you in worship today and for the opportunity to preach for you this morning. So I believe there's some announcements that are important for you all. Bible study will not be held this week, so if you're planning on going to Bible study, maybe concentrate on that wonderful reading plan that Michael has put together instead. The adult Sunday school class this month is devoting itself to prayer and fellowship before beginning a study in Philippians in September, which is quickly approaching. So that's at 10 a.m. in the annex on Sundays. But we are not here for announcements. We are here to worship our God. So let us rise and let's sing to our God in praise, for He is good. Please be seated. Would you all please pray with me? Heavenly Father, our rock, our refuge, and our shield, we gather here today because you have called each one of us by name, your people. We gather here today to worship you because you are our creator. You have created us from dust and your breath of life. And so we pray today that the breath in our lungs would be used to praise you, Lord. May our songs be sweet to your ear. May our prayer be lifted up in the power of your Holy Spirit. May the reading and preaching of your word humble proud hearts and lift up and bind hearts that are wounded. All of these things are possible through you, Father. And so we worship you. And we pray that our worship today would be in spirit and in truth. We stand today before you, Lord, as expectant servants, covered in the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his righteousness, we stand before you. And so we pray to you, Father, in the words that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our responsive reading today is printed in your bulletin on the second page. It comes from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Let us all rise now and sing hymn number 99. Brothers and sisters, we profess a certain faith a certain truth found in Scripture. Using the words of the Apostles' Creed, let us confess our faith. Brothers and sisters, I ask you, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you sing the Gloria Patri? Sorry. Yeah, please. You may be seated. I see there's time for a minute for mission, and as I have felt like a man on a mission or a family on a mission these last 2 years, I thought I might share some of our progress. The first time that we came here, I believe, was in 2019, maybe 2018, and I had just begun seminary. We had just moved to Jackson. And we had left our homes in Mandeville, Louisiana. And I'm happy to say that we are entering into our final year of seminary. And now, instead of leaving our home in Louisiana to come to Jackson, this summer we actually left our home in Louisiana to come back to our home in Jackson. So Jackson has indeed become a home for us as well. This summer, I had the privilege of interning at New Covenant Presbyterian Church in Mandeville, Louisiana, which is our home church. And I got to spend 2 months there doing pastoral ministry and serving our congregation that we know and love. And we returned last week to Jackson to continue my internship with Covenant in Jackson, Mississippi, who have been so wonderful in taking good care of us and providing for our family and fellowship and financially and experience. So we do indeed have two homes now, which I'm happy to say God has blessed us in abundance. And once again, we are very excited to be here today to see you all. It's been a very long time, and we're happy to be back. Let's rise and continue our worship together as we sing hymn number 288.
Lost, but now am I.
Please be seated. I see now we come to a time of silent prayer and meditation. I would encourage you to meditate on the words of Micah that we read today. What is it that God requires of man but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And in this time of silent prayer, I'd also ask you to consider a silent prayer of confession as we reflect on our week and as we reflect even on this morning, where we have failed to do these things. We've failed our God, so that we might go to him and ask forgiveness for our sins. And then I will continue with our prayer after that. So if you would please, let us bow our heads and pray together. Gracious Father, Lord of all creation, your hand extends in dominion over all nations, over all your creation. And we praise you, Father, for your glory. We praise you for your majesty. In all things, before all things were made, you knew. You decreed what would happen. Lord, you reign with a sovereign hand over all your creation, knowing that even today we would be gathered here in your name, knowing today that your people would be gathered in this sanctuary. And so we ask, Father, that you would hear our prayer, that our prayers would be lifted up to you now, the power of your Holy Spirit, and for the glory of your great name. May all creation bow and worship of you, because you are the creator, and because we are the creatures. May we always look to you. May we always cry out to you. Confess, Lord, that this is not how it always is. How many times have we turned away from you, Father, to seek good in wrong places, to seek out satisfaction where there is no satisfaction, when all along, Father, you are right beside us, when you have revealed your word and your will to us, in the words of your Holy Scripture. We thank you, Father, for the revelation of your word. We thank you for the words of the prophets and scribes who preserved your word even today. And we thank you, Father, for the word made flesh, for Jesus, your Son, who communicates perfectly your plan for our redemption and the restoration of our relationship, your fallen people, with you, our holy God. Father, I ask for your blessing on the church plants of this church, who they graciously sponsor. You have given them financial means. I pray that they would continue to faithfully steward those means. But we know that Quest Church and Haven Church, that they don't just need financial support, but they need our prayer. We pray for your Holy Spirit to move in those congregations. We pray for an abundance of interest and membership, that many might hear your word and you would be glorified. We pray also for those who this church supports, in the Middle East, for Nick and Amanda, for Elizabeth and Greg, for Kevin and Jenna, especially now in this time of unrest and turmoil, strengthen their hearts and their resolve. And in their weakness, may they rest in you and be empowered by your Holy Spirit. Pray for the elders of this church, that they might lead in a spirit of wisdom, that they might shepherd this flock, your people. I pray for Michael, that you would preserve his soul, you would enlighten his eyes and open his mouth, that your truth day by day would proceed from his lips. I pray for the city of Port Gibson, the state of Mississippi. Lord, we do indeed pray for peace. We pray for financial well-being, but above all else, we pray for your glory, and that all of Mississippi, that all of this nation might know of your name, starting here in Port Gibson. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the praise, because it is only through the power of your Holy Spirit that we can do anything at all. And yet you are here with us, and you have sent your Son. All praise and glory to the name of King Jesus. Amen. Let us rise and sing hymn number 288. I apologize. We already did that. We have a choral response now. My apologies. Our scripture today comes from the book of Jude. Now, the book of Jude is easy to pass up. You may, in fact, miss it if the pages stick to the first page of Revelation. The book will be gone. It's one of the shorter books in scripture. The letter of Jude to this congregation is concerned about spiritual danger and about false teaching. And so Jude, who is a brother of James, and therefore a half-brother of Jesus, he writes to this congregation. And he says at first he writes to this congregation, he wanted to write to this congregation about their common salvation. He wanted to talk about something joyful. But he sees a greater need. And so he changes his purpose. The purpose of his letter now is to warn them of these false teachers that have started to crop up in their midst. And so he sees that there's true spiritual danger. And he invites this congregation to take action. Let me pray, and then I will read God's word. Father, open our hearts, open our ears, so that we might hear the truth of your word. Guard us from misunderstanding, and be with us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we might know what you have to say to us today through your holy word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hear the word of God, Jude 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating the garment stained by the flesh. This ends the reading of God's word. So we see that Jude identifies two different groups of this congregation, doesn't he? There's believers and there's unbelievers. And Jude doesn't have any special insight. He doesn't have any special insight into the hearts of man. He's merely judging the fruit of the people's work. So he sees that these false teachers, their lives start to yield this fruit of blasphemy and division and ungodly desires. So he can see what's going on, and he knows that these are not believers. But he's not writing to them, is he? He's writing to the beloved. He says, "Beloved, I was very eager to write to you." And then he starts to talk about these false teachers. But in verse 17, he makes a distinction. In verse 17, he says, but you, beloved, those who are loved by God, you are to act differently. You're to act in the Spirit. And so we see a distinction between these believers and their actions and the non-believers and their actions. So you see, Jude doesn't have any special insight. But as he sees what's going on, because he's perceptive to the works in this church, as he sees what's going on, he sees that there is true spiritual danger in this congregation. There's true spiritual danger, and he calls the believers, the beloved, to take action. If you've been on an airplane, you know that a flight attendant will tell you that in case of an emergency, the oxygen mask will drop down from the ceiling. And what does the flight attendant say? First, put the mask on yourself. And then turn to your neighbor and help your neighbor with that mask. Jude's message is much like the flight attendants. Jude calls these believers, these beloved, to first strengthen themselves and then to pursue those in danger. So just like a flight attendant, Jude calls them to first strengthen themselves and then turn to those in danger and help them. There's true spiritual danger. And so he calls them to take action. Verse 20 says this, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith." He starts by saying that one way to strengthen themselves is to build themselves up. This makes sense that he would call them to build themselves up. If you think about it, you have rebirth. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we are reborn. And at that point, we are spiritual infants. And so what is expected of an infant but to grow? And so Jude expects the beloved of this congregation to grow, to build themselves up, to strengthen themselves. First, an infant survives on milk. That milk is nourishing. It's vital, it's necessary. But as an infant grows, their needs change. They need more substantial food. They start to eat maybe rice cereal, something a little more solid. Then they move on to solid foods, and then eventually they're eating all the food off of your plate, and there's nothing you can do about it. So you see that as the child progresses, their needs progress. Well, Jude is saying the same thing here. He says, "Beloved, build yourselves up." Because there's an expectation of growth for the Christian. The Christian should first start off with the milk of Scripture. That milk is the gospel. It's the message that Jesus Christ has died for our sins. He has been resurrected by the glory of God and sits at God's right hand. And then if we believe in that, we live in eternity in God's glory alongside all of those chosen in Christ. That's the simple message of Scripture that we need to know. That's the milk. But even Paul says we're to progress past these things. So you can see the similar message here. As Jude says, you are to build yourselves up. We're expected to grow. There's harder things to understand in this book. They're not all simple to understand. But God's revealed them to us, and we can understand them. But we have to grow and able to do that. So he says, build yourselves up. Strengthen yourselves with the word of God. Just as an infant doesn't just grow on food, right? An infant usually thrives better if there's a family, if there's relationships. Jude is pointing out a relationship here as well. He says, build yourselves up. Build yourselves up, not just you individually, but you and those around you. Build yourselves up. You see, relationship is important to God. It's in fact, the very being of God is relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God in perfect relationship. So you see, Jude is calling the believers here to be in relationship with one another, to watch out for one another, to disciple one another. Build yourselves up. An infant thrives with the proper food and with the proper relationships. And that's how we're to thrive as believers, as those loved in Christ. We build ourselves up together because relationships are important. What are we to build ourselves up in? I've hinted at it a little bit. But Jude says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. I've been talking about Scripture and the Word of God. So how is he talking here? Well, this most holy faith, it's not an action. This isn't faith in terms of believing, although that's important. This is faith in terms of the most holy faith that has been passed down to all believers. This is what we believe, the truths of Scripture. And so we see what it is that we are to build ourselves up with. Because God gives us what we need so that we can do what he's called us to do. He gives us the tools. He gives us the power of his Spirit. And the revelation of his word, that's important. That's important. That is the most holy faith. Psalm 19 portrays the son as a strong man who runs his course with joy. And nothing can hide from its heat. It's completely effective. And why can nothing hide from the heat of the sun? Because it's hot. God made the sun hot, and so nothing can hide from its heat. He empowers the sun to do what God has created the sun to do. Psalm 19 then goes on to discuss the virtues of God's law, of God's word. And God's word enlivens the soul. It makes wise the simple. So if you're simple-minded, but you know Scripture, you're wise. It's transformative. And so Jude here is calling us to read our Bibles. Just as we must eat food to be nourished, we need to read our Bibles to be nourished spiritually. It's important. We should read our Bibles all the time. In fact, every morning, every night, at lunchtime, at your coffee break. Because God's word is good. It should be like honey in our mouths. Now, I realize that I've just spouted out a lot of times to read your Bible. And I also realize that we're all not just sitting around waiting for times to read our Bible. We're busy. There's a lot of things going on. And so I don't want you to think that I'm calling you to do something that's impossible. I don't want you to think that I'm burdening you with something that you can't accomplish. But if it does sound like a burden, if it does seem like maybe that's a bit much, Scott, 6 hours of reading my Bible every day, I can't do it, I would say to you, you're right. You cannot do it. I cannot do it on my own. And you cannot do it on your own as well. And so Jude continues. He continues saying that we are to build ourselves up in our most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. So you see, God gives us what we need, His Word, and He gives us His Spirit, that we have the strength to do these things. So we have now the strength of God. So we rely on God to do the things that He set before us. Even Paul was not smart enough. He wasn't wise enough. He didn't have enough time to do all of the things that he was supposed to do on his own. This is Paul the Apostle, right? This is Paul who knew the scriptures back and forth. This is Paul who was the most zealous. This is Paul who was knocked down on the road to Damascus, where Jesus Christ personally revealed to him the truths of Scripture. That's a pretty good pedigree. But even Paul is on his knees praying to God, praying for the strength of the Holy Spirit for the Ephesian church, that they would be strengthened by the Spirit of God. So if Paul needs to pray as he's doing these things that God has called him to do, I would submit to you, brothers and sisters, that you and I need to pray as well. There may be another Paul in this room, but I know he's not standing at the pulpit right now. So first, Jude says, strengthen yourselves in the truth of Scripture. But then pray. Pray for the power of God to do these things. And you see, as we rely on God, it's not our strength. It's not our reading of the Bible that brings anyone glory, but it's God's strength. So we do these things in God's strength, and then God has the glory as we do these things. And what is our purpose but to glorify God, our Creator? So we see that it's not in our strength. We're to build ourselves up, but we're to do it with the power of God. But unless we start to think that this reading of Scripture and praying is what saves us, I warn you, it's not what saves us. If we rely on reading Scripture and we rely on praying and we rely on doing these things to save us, we are off track. Because the only thing that saves us is Jesus Christ. Look what Jude says. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God by waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, just as it is important to read Scripture, it's important to pray on the strength of God. Don't think that if you forget to read or if you forget to pray that your salvation's in jeopardy. These things are important, but it's not what saves us. Now, Jude says here, keep yourselves in the love of God. It sounds like what we do is what keeps us in the love of God. And it is, and it isn't. They all go together. Look at it this way. But you, those who are loved by God, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. You who are loved by God, keep yourselves in the love of God. How are we supposed to understand this? Think about this. If I said, you who are in shape, keep yourselves in shape, running and doing push-ups, keep yourselves in shape. Makes a little bit more sense. You see, being in shape and doing the things that make you in shape, they go together. They go together. They don't overrule each other. They go together. It's the actions that keep us in this state, but it's the state that enables us to do these actions. So you have this circle, right? You do push-ups and you run, and the effect of that is that you're in shape. But you can't really do those things unless you're in shape. You know, you start doing push-ups and maybe you can do one, maybe you can't do any. And after a while you keep working at it and maybe you could do 50. Or you go for a run and you run a block and you're out of breath and you feel like you're gonna fall over. And then if you keep doing it, before you know it, you run a marathon. You see, it's these actions that keep us in the state. And so Jude is telling us these actions, these Christian actions, reading scripture, building ourselves up in the faith, looking at one another and discipling one another, and praying in the Holy Spirit. These are the actions that somebody who is beloved does. So he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Stay in shape by reading scripture and praying and discipling. But again, unless we think that this work that we do saves us, Jude is careful, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. It's only the mercy of Jesus Christ that leads us to that eternal life. It's not the reading. It's not the praying. It's not the discipling. It's not the evangelizing. We are called to do those things, but it's not what saves us. Jude knows that there are false teachers. He knows that there's a need for strengthening and protection. And so he calls God's people to take action first to strengthen themselves in the truths of our most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. But once we've done that, he calls us to go out beyond ourselves. Remember the second commandment. It says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Look at these actions as loving yourself, enlivening your soul through the word of God. That's loving yourself. Praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. That's loving yourself. So now what are you to do? Go out and love others. And so Jude calls the beloved to pursue those that are in danger. Look at verse 22. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by flesh. So we see that this congregation's more complex than we originally thought. First, we saw believers and non-believers, and now we see that there's this whole other cross-section of the congregation. You have the doubters, you have the abouters, and you have those who are living in sin. The doubters, the abouters, and those living in sin. And what are we to do for the doubters? He says, show mercy. Show mercy to those who are doubting the truths of this faith. They begin to doubt because maybe they don't understand. Maybe they haven't built themselves up in the faith. Maybe they haven't had someone to disciple them, but whatever the reason is, they start to doubt that this is true. They start to doubt that God's word is truly satisfying, and so they start to think maybe there's something else. Maybe there's something else. Those are the doubters, but what are we to do? We show them mercy. So how do we show somebody mercy who doubts? Well, I would say to you that mercy is action. Mercy is taking action. If you and I are standing somewhere and there's a building, this is hypothetical, there is no building that's on fire right now that I know of, just so you know. But if we're standing here and you and I are talking and I say, I think I'm going to go into that building, and you say, Scott, I don't think you should because that building's on fire. And I say, you know, I don't think so. I'm going in. What is mercy? Is mercy to stand there and go, well, I told him so. Guess he'll be fine. He'll figure it out. Or is mercy to say, Scott, stop. The building's on fire. Well, I hope you would show me mercy in that case. Because it's going into a dangerous situation. You see, as we begin to doubt the truths of Scripture, if we've neglected to build up our faith, we face danger. And if we begin to doubt, we face danger. But those around us who begin to doubt, we must show mercy. And mercy is action. Mercy is saying something. We correct in gentleness, but we correct. So those are the doubters, but we also have the abouters. These are the people that have doubted and are starting to believe the teachings of these false teachers. They're starting to think that maybe they're onto something. Maybe I can go scripture plus something else. Jesus plus something else. Maybe these false teachers are right. But Jude tells us that these false teachers, they're dreamers. They're making things up. They're making up religion to follow. And so they're dangerous. They're truly dangerous. You see, there's a sense of urgency that comes, isn't there? Snatch others out of the fire. Let's imagine you and I are now standing outside of this building, and I have ignored what you said, and I am proceeding into the burning building. And as I open up the door to show me mercy, you must now snatch me from that door to stop me from going in. It's not just, please stop, don't stop. It's a more urgent action because the situation is truly dangerous. Well, our situation spiritually is truly dangerous in the face of false teachings. When we begin to doubt the word, now we can see the importance of building ourselves up in the most holy faith and having the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you approach that burning building, what are you doing? Well, you come closer to that fire, don't you? You come closer to that danger, don't you? So as you go to snatch those out of the fire, you yourself are indeed in danger. That's why it's important to build yourselves up in the most holy faith in the Word of God. That's why it's important to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Because as you seek out others who pursue dangerous things, you yourself are in danger. Fire does not care who it consumes. So we have the doubters. We have the abouters. And when we have those living in sin. And those living in sin are the people who have begun to follow the false teachings. Whatever they are, we are surrounded by false teachings. We're tempted to follow all sorts of false teachings. Well, these people are living a life of sin. Look at the language. It says, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Well, in verse 8, Jude says, in speaking about these false teachers, yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh. The false teachers and their dreams, they defile the flesh. And then in verse 23, we see that it's the flesh that stains the garment. There's a connection. Who we follow, we begin to be like. Who we follow, we begin to be transformed. And in this case, these people who are living in sin, following these false teachers, they begin to be deformed, I would say. Having ungodly passions, division in the church. That's what happens when we follow false teachers. But praise be to God that this works both ways, because while we follow false teachers, we become like false teachers. While we follow Jesus, we become like Jesus. You see, it's this thing that works for humans. What we follow, we become. And so as we follow our Savior Jesus, we become more like him. The Holy Spirit works in our lives to transform us more into the image, the perfect image of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. But he says to show mercy, doesn't he? And what did we say? That mercy requires action. And just like fire doesn't care what it consumes, sin doesn't care what it stains. And so we are to approach these situations with great caution. Jude says, show mercy with fear. We must be cautious when we pursue those living a life of sin because they are surrounded by the temptations that our hearts naturally desire. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? To lead us away from temptation. Well, if we pursue these people, we are proceeding towards temptation, aren't we? All the more reason to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. all the more reason to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jude calls the beloved to first strengthen themselves, but then to seek out those who are in danger, because there's true spiritual danger in the false teachings in this congregation. And with us today, in the world around us, in Port Gibson, in Mississippi, in the United States, all of these places, there are false teachers that we are tempted to follow. And so it's important that we build ourselves up, that we read our scripture, that we pray. It's vital, not only for ourselves, but so that we can build each other up and we can pursue those in danger. Just like Jude, I'm standing here in front of you today like a flight attendant because our engines have failed and we're falling because of sin. But God has dropped down a lifeline for us, hasn't he? An oxygen mask. Jesus Christ, the source of life, has come down from heaven, has died on the cross for our sins. And as we believe, we are saved. But we need to be saved first. We need to build ourselves up first and strengthen our own faith. It's a responsibility to ourselves, but to all of those around us as well. So strengthen yourselves. Strengthen each other. Read your scripture and pray in the Holy Spirit. And then keep your eyes open for those in danger and pursue them. Remember, mercy is action. Jesus pursued us and he saved us. And we are to pursue others and do likewise. There are true spiritual dangers and we are called to take action. Would you please pray with me, brothers and sisters? Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for eyes and hearts and minds to understand what you have to say to us. I pray that we would have desires that bring us deep into your word to understand, to marvel at your glory, and to be strengthened in our most holy faith that has been revealed to all the saints through the ages. We are part of a glorious inheritance, Father. But I pray that we would not stop there, but seek out those who are in danger, that we would pursue them, that we would show mercy. Your mercy has always been in action, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us rise and sing hymn 352. Brothers and sisters, hear the words of Jude for our benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Go in peace, brothers and sisters.